Well, good morning. You guys doing all right? Did we dismiss our kids already? I think we did. Yep. I wasn't paying attention. Sorry. Hey, so listen, it's Christmas time, right? Can you believe that Christmas is this week? Anybody else ready for that? Yeah, me neither. Yes, we're ready for Santa to be here. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so if you want to pull your Bibles out, open that up, and kind of stick your finger there, that's where we're going to be. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. We're also going to be in Matthew chapter 1, so we'll be there too, but just to kind of give you a heads up where we're going to be. Man, I'm telling you, is there anybody in the room that still has shopping to do? Anybody still have shopping to do? Or are you one of these people, you're like, nope, I've been cruising since Thanksgiving, brother. I was done before Black Friday. Anybody has people in the room? You're the kind of people that make us sick. You know, you're the ones that, like, I shop all year long for myself. And then you get one, I get one. You get one, I get one. You know, that's the best thing. But I love Christmas. I love Christmas for many reasons. But I'm a gift giver. It's one of my love languages. I love to give things to people. Like, it just makes me happy. I can receive a gift and that's fine, but I receive more joy. Yeah, Denise. I can receive more joy giving you something and knowing that you like what I give you. If you don't like what I give you, well, we have a problem. But I'm just kidding. Not normally, but you know, I like to give gifts. Anybody else in the room like to give gifts? Who likes to receive gifts? Yeah, lots of people like to receive gifts, not so much give. Are there any, like, good gift givers in the room? Like, you are a good gift giver. I feel like I'm a pretty good gift giver when it comes to giving gifts, but, you know, I probably don't do the best all the time. But you kind of know, though, when you give gifts, if you're a good gift giver or you're not. So if you're sitting in the room thinking, am I a good gift giver? You're not a good gift giver. You're not the one that we're going, oh man, they give great gifts. They are awesome at giving gifts. You know, if you're sitting there wondering, you're probably not the best gift giver. But that's okay. You don't have to be the best gift giver. And so, anyway, Christmas is neat. It's fun for so many different reasons. You know, I growing up in South Mississippi, you know, conversations of like white Christmas, you know, that never happened where we lived. You know, we would get white Christmases like the beach. That was about as close to white as we would get. And so up here, it's kind of a different thing. Like when the news people say, hey, there's a possibility of having a white Christmas. You're like, wait, what? For real? Like, I've never been a part of that. I've never been a part of having a white Christmas. So I'm kind of anxious to see if we get a white Christmas or not. You know, fingers crossed, right, for a lot of people. Even if it's just snow flurries, that's still good for me. Is that good for you? It's good for me. Yeah, I'm not a big snow person either. We'll move on from that. So anyway, I love Christmas. One of my craziest Christmas memories, though, comes from when I was 8 years old. My family, this is like a year after my dad died. And so it was kind of our first Christmas without my dad. And it was super hard, like as an eight-year-old kid, not having your dad there. And so it was just strange just in general. But my mom, you know, she had to raise four kids by herself. So she was immediately thrown into being a single mom of four kids. Now I have three children. My wife and I have three kids. And, during Bobby's COVID issues, I quickly became very grateful for single mothers. Okay, like for moms that do it by themselves with multiple children, it's hard, right? And if you're a parent, you understand. Like even if you take turns, like it's, you know, mom's going to go do something and dad's like, oh, I have the kids. Okay, let's hope they all don't, you know, kill each other by the time you get home or whatever. And so, you know, my mom had to raise four children by herself after my dad died. And so she did, you know, amazing things. And one night we had gone out to dinner together. This was just a few days before Christmas, probably 2 or 3 days, and my mom had saved up some life insurance money and some different things, and her plan was to give us, like, the best Christmas that we had ever gotten, ever. because, you know, again, this is the first Christmas without my dad. And so she felt like, you know, this is one thing that I can do. I can buy all of these gifts and do all this kind of stuff and kind of help ease the sting of that being there. And it was great and it was awesome, super. And so we go to dinner and we come home and we come to a house that had been broken into. And our house was wiped clean. They took everything. Like, I don't mean that they took everything and you're like, oh yeah, whatever. They took everything. It was a very strategic plan that these people, we feel like it was some bad people that my family knew, and they knew that my mom had purchased all of these things and all this kind of stuff. It was an inside job or whatever. But they took everything from TVs to all of the presents underneath the Christmas tree to silverware. Like, I don't really understand, like, why you would steal silverware, but they stole silverware. And, I mean, literally, it was one of those things where you hear about on the movies and things. Our house was completely just, the house was trashed. They stole all the good stuff. And I can remember how devastating that was. Like, you know, again, first Christmas without my dad, bad. First Christmas without my dad and everything is gone, worse, right? And I was, you know, just honestly, I literally was just sitting there thinking to myself, like, I'm heartbroken, I'm devastated, I'm being selfish, you know, I can't believe we're not going to have Christmas now and yada, 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 yada. And I didn't even think about how my mom felt. And I couldn't imagine as a single mom, like, where she was at walking into that house that night, thinking, how are we gonna, what are we gonna, this is terrible, this is, what am I can't, you know, don't even know where to start. Anyway, and before we kind of move forward, I want to just take a minute to acknowledge that, you know, if you're somebody here that Christmas is hard, we get it. That if you're in this room and maybe you've lost a loved one, you know, maybe you're struggling to provide for your family. Maybe you've got family issues, and maybe, you know, the holidays bring about, you know, family struggles and things that maybe are going to be brought up that you don't want to have to deal with, and then the family hurts get worse during the holidays because there's just things that kind of go along with that. We understand that. And maybe you're just in a place where you just don't want to celebrate. Maybe you're here or maybe you're watching and you don't want to celebrate anything right now. You're just in a bad spot. But we want you to know that we're here to help you. We're here to encourage you. We're here to lift you up. We're here to pull up beside you and walk this road with you. And to do life with you, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to get through things like this is with each other, but ultimately with Jesus, right? And there's people in this church that understand exactly where you feel, and they've been exactly where you are, and Christ has pulled them through those things, and so we want you to understand that Jesus is the only one. He's the only one that's going to take away the hurt. He's the only one that's going to fill that void. He's the only one that's going to be able to handle those issues that are in your life. And I encourage you, I employ, I beg you to trust him in this season. For some reason, during the holidays, things just get worse. But he is a way maker, right? He's the one that we come to see, right? He's the one that we come to worship. He's the one that we know that can do all of these things, right? So don't give up. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be working around you. We just have to trust. He is our hope. He is our hope that came in the form of a babe in a manger. And that's what we celebrate this season, right? That's what we celebrate during this time. We celebrate a Christ who has come to save his people, to be reconciled to God. He is a king that has come to bring reconciliation. Amen? So if you'll open your Bible to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read this story of the birth of Christ, Mary and Joseph. And then we're going to flip over to 2 Corinthians and kind of look at a little passage of scripture. I know that kind of seems a little bit weird, but just trust me for a minute. This will all hopefully make sense once we kind of get there. So Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph," that means engaged, "to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." What? Hold on. Tell that to somebody. Hey, I'm pregnant. It's the Holy Spirit's. Think about that for a minute, people. Okay, you're engaged. Your girl says, hey, I'm pregnant. Whoa, wait a minute. This is a crazy story. And her husband, Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we know that you are the Lord of all and that you are in control. Father, we praise you for sending Jesus, our Savior. Father, we praise you for his work. And Father, we praise you for the reconciliation that will come because of him. We ask this in your son's name. Amen. So this passage of scripture right here, there's lots of different, in the Gospels, the conversations of the birth of Christ. But I really like this right here, what Matthew describes here, because I feel like we can relate to this. I feel like this is something that's in the scriptures that we can say, yeah, I get that. I completely understand that. You would completely understand, or maybe we wouldn't understand fully when Mary says to, Joseph, hey, I'm prego, but I promise I haven't been messing around. There might be a little bit of trouble there. There might be a little bit of, I'm confused with this deal. And again, you see Joseph's response is, well, I'm a good dude. I'm not gonna divorce you and run your name through the mud. What I'm gonna do is we're gonna do this quietly, right? And so then he says, hey, all right, let's do this. And then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. Y'all ever had dreams like this before? I don't want to get weird on you or anything like that, but I do believe that the Lord speaks to people through dreams and through people and through circumstances, and that if you don't believe that, I don't know what to tell you, but the Holy Spirit will move, okay? And I think that half the reasons that we don't hear and see the Lord moving is because we're not looking for the Lord to move, okay? We're just trying to do things on our own time. And Joseph in this situation could have taken things into his own hands, yes or no? He could have divorced her. He could have said, hey, you're lying to me. This is a lie. I'm moving on to somebody else who's going to be trustworthy. But the angel of the Lord appeared in this dream, right? And I've never had the Lord speak to me in a dream, but I do know that he has spoken through other people and through circumstances and given me confirmation for things. Not necessarily with a loud voice, not necessarily with an audible voice to say, Denise, or anything like that. But my name's not Denise, but you don't understand what I'm saying. Like he doesn't necessarily do that, but he does give confirmation through other people and confirmation through circumstances. And I think that in this situation right here, that the scriptures say, listen, this angel shows up to Joseph in a dream and says, hey, don't fear, right? And that after this goes down, like, people are going to find out that Mary's pregnant. Hey, Mary's pregnant. Did you know Mary's pregnant? Mary's pregnant. Y'all know how the rumor mill starts. You think it was any different then than it is now? Absolutely not. You think word travels fast now? Word traveled fast then, because that's the only way. They'd run off with a carrier pigeon, and things would happen, and doves would fly, and they're pregnant, or whatever. And people, this was not good. This was not good for people to hear. Like, this is bad, really bad for her to be pregnant. And so, of course, like when we hear of this, I'm sure that they were absolutely terrified. I'm sure that they were like, man, what are people going to say about us? How are people going to respond about this? What are they going to do? We're going to be kicked out of the village. We are going to be kicked out of the village and not know what to do. What are we going to do? Right? And I'm sorry. Someone spoke from the congregation. I apologize. Yes, Lord. And so, what happens here is that Joseph responds with trust. He responds with trust. And I think that this is important for us to understand that during this time of crazy, and this seems crazy. Just be honest. This is crazy. And Joseph responds with trust in the Lord. But was he terrified? Probably so, right? Did God get them through it? Absolutely, God brought them through it, right? This is God's supernatural intervention. And the truth is that we need God's intervention. God, we need God's supernatural intervention in our own lives. We need to experience this kind of thing, right? Because we have a plan of things that we want to take place. We wanted things to work out a certain way. Well, we're going to go to so-and-so's house, and the presents are going to go open, and the dinner's going to go like this. And it never goes that way. It never goes that way. It never goes the way that we want things to go. It doesn't matter how good of a planner you are. Things just don't go as you plan them all the time, right? Especially, I mean, you just went through Thanksgiving. I'm sure there's a myriad of things at Thanksgiving that went wrong. The turkey's burnt. The turkey's dry. The dressing's wrong. Oh, that's salty. Oh, that's bad. Whatever. Things just don't necessarily go the way that we plan them all the time. You know, and the truth is, it's because we're not looking for his plan. And I'm not talking about his plan. Like, I don't really know how to get into, like, well, did the Lord tell you to put a tablespoon of salt in the dressing, you know? Or no, the recipe did, okay? I don't know. But what I am saying is that his plan is what we need. And I know that this sounds crazy for Mary and Joseph. And it seemed crazy for Joseph to go along with this plan and with this deal. It so much that he even considered divorcing Mary quietly. But then the angel of the Lord came and the Lord said, look, listen, I know what's going on, right? I know what's going on. And look, I know, I get it. Angels don't speak to me either, okay? John, angels don't really speak to me like this, though. You know, I never had an angel come down in my dream and say something to me. Well, I get it. I've never had that either, right? And again, like I said, we've had the spurring of the Lord, though, in other ways. You've had God speak to you and confirm things for you and do things inside of your soul and do things for you. And we have to trust God as Mary and Joseph did. Our situations aren't even as disparate as theirs is, for crying out loud. Hey, we're pregnant. We're not married, but we're pregnant. And not only are we pregnant, it's the Lord, you know, the coming Messiah, the one that we've been praying for. It's him. I got him right here. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're crazy. That this is crazy to think about. But we have to trust God as they trust God. We have to allow God to work in our lives as they have allowed God to work, right? Even when you don't see it, and even when you don't feel it, God is still working around you. And we've got to open up our eyes to find where God is working in our life, even in the midst of the holidays. So open your Bible over to 2 Corinthians. So flip over to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at a small passage of scripture here. We're going to read all the way through this, Nathaniel, and then we're going to kind of come back to it and chop it up a little bit. But we're going to start in verse 14. So 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 14, it says this, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And see, there's a lot of stuff going on in this passage of scripture, but I want to make the correlation here that Mary and Joseph, in their specific circumstances, allowed the love of God to rule in their hearts. They allowed the love of God and their love for Christ and their love for the kingdom to rule their hearts. Even when it was hard, even when they didn't understand, even when they were going to get ridiculed and possibly beat and possibly excommunicated, they allowed God, they allowed him in. And again, I'm sure that people thought that they were crazy. And I'm sure that, you know, maybe they were a little bit crazy. Maybe they had to be a little bit crazy, right? But look back at verse 13. We didn't read this, but Verse 13, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, but if we are in our right mind, it is for you. Because sometimes in our life, doing things for Christ may seem crazy to the outside world. The Bible also says that you will be considered an alien to the world, right? You will be considered completely different to the world because they don't understand you, because they don't understand the work of Christ in your life. So if you're one of these people who's just kind of going along the way right here and everything's going fine and dandy and there's no ripple, maybe we need to right that ship around and go the opposite way. Maybe we need to get a little bit crazy. Everybody's got a little bit of crazy, right? Y'all with me on that? Everybody's got a little bit of crazy? No, y'all don't have crazy, do you? Can we hear a crazy? I'm just kidding. Let's not get crazy. We don't want to do that. But anyway, everybody's got a little bit of crazy in us. And it might take a little bit of crazy for you to actually kind of follow through with Christ on some of the things maybe he's got you going to do. God, that's crazy. Wait a minute. What do you mean? What do you mean you want me to move my family halfway across the country? What do you mean you want me to follow you no matter what happens? Or God, what do you mean you want me to go serve on the mission field? What, you want me to go? Do you understand that I have my own business, that I have got a family here, that we have a great education system? You are not calling me to go to Africa. There's no way that you're calling this guy to go. And maybe you have to be a little crazy. Maybe you have to be a little bit, yeah, I'm calling you to do that. Because sometimes God calls us to do some things that the world will absolutely be seen as crazy. You want me to leave my job to go to the ministry? I have a great friend back when I was an intern. He was a lawyer, a very prominent lawyer who left his law firm to be a pastor. Think about that for a minute. He left his law firm to go be a pastor because he felt God calling him to be a pastor. I want that kind of like, you know, that's what I'm talking about. He was very successful. His firm was, I mean, you know, one of these Mississippi law firms that you hear about in like, you know, John Grisham books and things like that. Like, I mean, it's like, you know, but he left, he did that. And I wonder in our lives, what is God calling us to do that may seem as a little crazy? But moving on in verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And see, God has gifted us this new life. So when Jesus came, God gifted us an opportunity. God gifted us with an ability through Jesus to be made new again. Because remember, at the very beginning, there was a separation between God and man. And without Jesus, there is no relationship. There is no in-between there. Jesus came to be the mediator. Jesus came to bring that reconciliation that we need for relationship with Jesus. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're not just celebrating, yay, Jesus is born, break out the Christmas tree cakes for birthday. Not like, Jesus is born, yes, we celebrate that. That's exciting. But also we celebrate this reconciliation that's been made because of Jesus. That this is a celebration of salvation. This is a celebration of Christ coming and bringing hope to a lost world. And for some of us, we need this hope. For some of us, we need to know currently, like you may know Christ and you may have a relationship with Christ, but you need to be reminded of the hope that is in Jesus and why he truly came. See, because God gifted us this new life, you know, and it is through Christ and it is about Jesus. But listen, Christmas season is about God reconciling us, right? God reconciling us to himself through Jesus. And that's important for us to understand during this Christmas season. See, we get to celebrate the birth of Christ. But Jesus was sent for us to be reconciled to God. He was sent for us to be ambassadors for the truth. He was sent for us to be able to speak the truth to a lost generation. He was sent for us to be reconciled. He was sent for us to become the righteousness of God so that he could receive glory for everything that is done. Christmas is not just about Jesus being born. It's about salvation. It's about salvation that is to come. It's about reconciliation that is to come. And the Bible calls us to reconciliation, right? But let's read verse 21 together. Let's back up to 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that we would become the righteousness of God was the plan from the beginning. When Christ came, that was the plan, that you would become the righteousness of God because of his birth. And because of Jesus, you would be reconciled. He knew, he knows, and his plan is perfect. He knows exactly what's going on right now, currently, in your current state. He knows. All this was done with you in mind. All this was done because he thought of you. Jesus came for you. That this is a gift of God. Verse 18 says this, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This gift of reconciliation, this gift of us being reconciled to God, is what God intended as a gift for us. Does that sound weird? Like God gifted Jesus to us so that we could get to him. So God gifted us him. God gifted us God. Access to God, which is what we need, right? This whole restoration deal, like, right, we have to be restored because of Jesus. We have to, without Jesus, there is no restoration. You guys ever fixed up a home or a bridge? You ever fixed a bridge? I never fixed a bridge, but Ryan did. You know, you guys ever fixed up a home before? No? Nobody's fixed up a home? Anybody done some painting in your home? Anybody, you know, laid some flooring in your home? No, I leave that to Gary and all the professionals, right? But you understand that there's when this restoration happens, there's this process that takes place, right? You don't just go in and leave the flooring down and paint the walls, you know, if you've got this new flooring, do you? Like, you normally would paint the walls before you put in the new flooring. Am I right by that? Like, you don't put in the floors and say, hey, we're going to paint now. Should have done that. There's a little process to this. Unless, if you don't do that, then you're like having to drop cloth the floor and things like that. There's a certain process that goes along with restoration, and there's a certain process of restoration that takes place spiritually in your own life. There's a process, and you have to be faithful through the process. It's not going to be exactly the same for every single person. It's not going to be easy as it is for this person, or it's not going to be as hard as it is for that person, but the process is still the same. It's different for people, but the process is the same. You have to trust the Lord and his work and be faithful to him and be reconciled to God first. Listen, you got problems with relationships in your life? Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Well, John, you know, they kind of did so-and-so and they did so-and-so. I get it. Listen, I get it. I understand. I understand people saying things and doing things to hurt you. But God calls you to be reconciled, not just to each other, but to him. And I truly believe that if we're reconciled to him first, that everything else just kind of follows suits. Your relationships with friends, your relationships with parents, your relationships with your spouse, whatever it is. And things become a little bit better. So that we might become the righteousness of God. And so how do we respond to us wanting to become the righteousness of God? How do we follow after him? What are the decisions that we have to make? What are the things that you have to do? I can't answer that. But you know in your heart of hearts what God is calling you to do. We know in your heart of hearts what God is asking you to do to follow after him. How do you trust him? How do you move forward with him? How do you become reconciled to God? The first step is through Jesus. We accept Christ as our Savior, forgiveness of sins, belief in him. We follow after him. And as we live this daily life of sanctification and being more like him, more things kind of are revealed in this restoration process, right? See, the truth is that he came for you. From the beginning, he came for you to have a relationship with you. Forgiveness is for all people. God came for you. And the question is, if you don't know him, will you accept him? Would you believe in him? Would you want to have a relationship with him? Because he desires to have a relationship with you. Christmas is not just about Christmas trees and gifts, and it's not just about, you know, the birth of Jesus in a manger. It's about salvation and being reconciled to God. And without this reconciliation, there is no hope. And so in a season of hope, our prayer for you is that you accept him. Maybe you're a believer here. Will you be an ambassador for Christ? At all costs, will you do whatever it takes to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world? In your hair salons, or in your delivery routes, or in your jobs, or at the horse farm, or wherever you are, in your office, whatever you do, will you be an ambassador for Christ? Will you be one that speaks truth to a lost nation? Will you put your plans aside for his plans? Will you put your plans aside for his glory? The band's going to come up, and we're going to sing a closing song together. And I would love for, during this time, you can't kind of come forward and all that kind of stuff. But one thing that you can do is do work where you are. You know, have you got caught up in Christmas? I know it's pandemic and it's weird, and Christmas is going to be weird this year a little bit because you can't do X, Y, Z or whatever. But are you caught up in the Christmas? Are you caught up in the shopping and the wrapping and the meeting with family that you've superseded, that you've gone beyond and forgot about Christ? Because in this season, we celebrate Jesus and the coming of our Savior, but we also celebrate salvation. We also celebrate being reconciled to God. And when we are reconciled to God, we are driven in reconciliation among those around us. So I'm going to ask you to do something hard. You got somebody in your life that needs reconciliation? You got somebody in your family that it's tough? You're dreading seeing them, or you're dreading having that conversation? I pray that this morning that you would do work and that you would be reconciled, that you would allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart as Mary and Joseph allowed the peace of Christ to rule in theirs as you push through for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we pray during this season, Lord, that you would be Lord, that you would take over. God, that you would put aside our fears and our failures, God, that you would be celebrated, not just because it's Christmas, Father, but because you have reconciled us to God through Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we would live with that on the front of our minds constantly. God, that we would be ambassadors for you, that we would speak your truth and the gospel truth to people, Father. We know that you are able to do more than we can imagine, and Father, we pray that you would do that today. God, we pray that you would break chains, knock down walls, take things away, take away our fears, Father, and allow us to bring glory to you. Father, we pray that you would do work during this time in our hearts. We love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.